The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios.
Hi, this is Mia Mohsen-Zia, also known as Mia No Time for Love. Check out my latest book, Missing, available in print and ebook formats on Amazon.
It's now time for The Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and sponsored by international award-winning author Mia Mohsen-Zia of Missing. The Mike Wagner Show can be heard on over 40 podcast platforms, as well as HamiltonRadio.net, Diamonds FM, and TheMikeWagnerShow.com. We can be heard in over 100 countries, featuring over 1,000 well-known and amazing guests throughout the globe, and named one of the top 100 global podcasts in the New York Weekly Times, Hollywood Entertainment News, Los Angeles Weekly Times, Apple, and Chartable. So sit back and relax and enjoy another great episode of the award-winning Mike Wagner Show.
Hey everybody, it's Mike from the Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and brought to you by official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Mohsen-Zia of Missing, available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. We're here with a terrific gentleman. We had him on a few years ago. He's an author with a journeyman career, including marching with Martin Luther King, joining the Peace Corps, teaching in Nigeria, globetrotting a marine biologist, and embraced mysticism and started basically just a lot of things. And we'll talk about that. And he basically just got back from Costa Rica on a journey. He was involved in a transformation, which is a 90-second mind-body practice, integrating Tai Chi and yoga to manage stress and unlock your potential. We talked about that. And right now, he's just an appetite for risk. And his new book is about surviving near-death experiences in Africa, Middle East, and South America, anything from parachutes to guns to FBIs and more. He's done it all. And let's hear by live, ladies and gentlemen, from the Plus Studios, somewhere in the United States. We don't want anybody coming out with guns, parachutes, or anybody to the FBI. He's safe and sound. He's an appetite for risk. It's a new book out. Ladies and gentlemen, the multi-talented Bud Abbott. Bud, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us once again.
Thank you very much, Mike. It's good to be talking to you again.
Well, it's great to have you on board, Bud. It's always great to talk to you. So last time we talked, your book was called Transformation, a 90-second mind-body practice, integrating Tai Chi and yoga to manage stress and unlock your potential. And you're an author with a journeyman career, and you marched with Martin Luther King. You joined the Peace Corps and teach in Nigeria, globetrotting a marine biologist. You embrace mysticism and more. You just got back from Costa Rica, and I'm sure you'd love to talk about that. You're an advocate of truth and kindness, and you also have an appetite for risk as well. It's about surviving your death experience in Africa, Middle East, and also South America, anything from parachutes to FBIs to smuggling, guns, and more. And let's learn here. Before getting all that, once again, before we talk about that, once again, very quickly, just tell us how you got started.
Well, I'm a retired marine biologist, 82 years old, going strong. A lot of things have come together to keep me alive and well. In Costa Rica, bouncing around Airbnbs and hotels and swimming a lot and enjoying life tremendously. I'm very, very fortunate, very grateful. The transformation Tai Chi, I do that every day. It kind of resets my subconscious mind to interact with the world in a compassionate, loving, kind, and honest way. And this new book, Appetite for Risk, what an adventure writing that. I had to go back and look at all the stupid things I did, Mike. You know, got it hard to admit that. Yeah, I did that. I was foolish. But why did I survive? And that was what really drove me just recently, a famous young woman influencer died from a parachute accident. Streamer, exactly what I went through, but I got my parachute unraveled in time, and it was just a hard landing, but you know, I survived. And when attacked by river pirates in Nigeria, out of my subconscious mind came a few local words, and so I go like, well, why am I still alive? What is it? Why did I get in these situations, and why did I get out? And that was a real inner journey. I had to really look at some of the stupid stuff, but then look at the nature, DNA, the alleles for fear, look at nurturing, look at, you know, how I was brought up, and, you know, and is there a bigger presence in my life? Is there a spiritual presence that contributes to my being here and speaking to you today? Is this a part of a bigger thing? And I'm a player in a larger play. I'm a player in your play, Mike.
Well, you're definitely part of it, and you're always welcome anytime to be on a play. It's like you're on the stage, and you control the stage, and you can do what you want on the stage. You're safe with me, bud. I'll tell you that, and everybody.
Well, I've been having a lot of fun, and you know, I've got some couple other books planned. I'll talk to you about those later. But I've got these retreats set up now in Costa Rica. It's going to be an incredible spiritual experience. We call it Lighten Up Retreat because we don't encourage you to talk about yourself, your family, the war, the COVID, the politics. Be present in that lovely environment there in Costa Rica and learn some meditation techniques, the mala beads, Tai Chi, control, breathing exercises, sound baths, Tai Chi on the beach, you know, that people can come in and spend a little time. Yeah, we'll give you a book. Mm-hmm. People can spend time in a lovely environment, a really healing place. And, you know, that's why I was in Costa Rica for 2 weeks trying to identify the perfect place for our next retreat. And I think I found it. It's going to be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And certainly you did as well, too. And of course, the book Transformation as well, too. And what was it one precise moment for you that simply inspired you to write the book? What was it woman simply said, I'm going to write the book?
Well, if it's almost the inspiration of other people, you know, well, what do you do? What, you know, here you're 82, you're exceptional. You know, I was running triathlons when I was 70. What is it that you do that got you to where you are? And it made me think, you know, and then, well, what is it that you can write about? As a marine biologist writing proposals and technical reports, it's all very, very much third person passive voice. But if you're going to write something that people like to read instead mm-hmm. of a technical report, you've got to have place and setting and emotions and descriptions that bring people in. And so that's been quite a journey. And so I wrote some things and the various people tell me, why don't you write about something that you really know? And so I had written down some of my adventures that took place in my 20s and 30s. I call the knife and gun show when the guy who's wanted by the FBI had a long barreled 45 magnet pointed at my eyebrow. And, you know, how did I get out of that, you know? And how did I get out of when we were attacked by pirates down in the Niger River? How did I get out of that? So I'd written down a few stories and my genius editor, Kurt Lipsick, said, well, let's take these stories, write a few others, let's make it into a book. And so it was his advice. And I needed to get it out. I needed to go look inside. Mm-hmm. Try to understand, you know, who I am, you know thyself. It's the most important work you can do by many philosophers, you know, is an exercise in knowing myself. Mm-hmm. A bit ashamed of some of the things I did. I quite embarrassing, hard to write about, but I believe in honesty and truth. And so you had to put it down paper and then live through it and go like, then you go compassion, you know.
Give yourself a hug, yeah.
Hug, you know, yeah. You were in your 20s and 30s. Yeah, Mike, you too. You know, your 20s and 30s.
You know what? I might have to journal back what I did in my 20s and 30s. I can't say it yet. I have to, uncover my so-called microfiche in my head, get the cobwebs out of there, kick the spider out and, you know, whatever else, spray some WD-40 to get it moving again. I think I'm going to start that as well. I know I've got a journal as well, too, which my wife got me for my birthday, by the way. And I'll be the first to show it on the Mike Wagner Show. She gave it to me for my birthday. And one day I want to write about my career. So she gave me a book like this. It's custom made on Amazon. And I'm going to start writing it one day, but I need to start writing things down. I think it'll give me like a good, jump start, being 20s and 30s. And most notably, that you marched with Martin Luther King. That is a big one. You know, speaking of peace, kindness, compassion, Martin Luther King. Can you tell us about that one?
So I was a student at St. Louis University, Missouri, at the time of the civil rights marches. Frankly, I was just, pizza and beer and girls, but one of the other graduate students there said, hey, let's do it. And we'd been reading it in the paper. It was in the paper and the magazines. They were killing students who came from the north down to the south. And Liz, I just give her a tremendous applaud. She said, Bud, let's do it. And I said, okay, let's do it. And even though we were like, the old Christians, being thrown to the lions, doesn't matter. We believe that segregation and not allowing the people to vote was wrong. It was mm-hmm. wrong. We're willing to stand up and risk our lives for that. And there was an incident at a gas station. There were three guys. They had axe handles, just plain old, no axe head, just axe handles. Obviously there to intimidate or beat up somebody. And I had to go to the bathroom. There was no way around it. I got to the bathroom and they blocked the door. They were back to the door and I could hear them talking. It was not a friendly conversation. And, but fortunately I'd had a Taekwondo instructor who said it's far, far more important to get out of a fight than to get in a fight. It's just more better every time. And so I slowly opened the door and I said, excuse me. And I just put my shoulder through and just shoved between them and did not turn around to look at them, just my back to them and walked away thinking that one of those axe handles was going to come down on my head, but it didn't. And, so the peaceful resolution of a potentially terrible situation, we got to Montgomery and we marched and it was a heartfelt tears streaming down our face as we walked and encouraged the Afro-American people on the side streets to join us. One young woman did join us. I reached out my hand. She joined us and walked for a ways and they were the ones who are at risk. We're here today and gone tomorrow. We're graduates. Mm-hmm. We got to get back and teach. But that was one of those things that I'm really proud of that I stood up. I stood up to be counted. And I feel, those Ukrainians who are fighting for their country, if not me, who?
Right. I think that's a thing that's really missing in society is if it's not me, then who? Somebody wants to change the world. Someone wants to change the economy. Somebody wants to do this and they're afraid. And the question is, if it's not me, then who's going to do it? That seems to go unanswered at times, fear of risk and safety and whatever else.
Yeah. It's and for you and me and for a lot of other people to face up to the big challenge that we've got over the next 5 years. It is just, millions of people are going to die. I mean, that's 100,000 or a few thousand, what is it, 1,000 now in Maui? Thousands.
Boy, that's terrible.
Bangladesh, Florida, places are just going to be inundated with all kinds of problems and people are going to starve. People are going to drown. Fires are going to consume people. People are going to die from the fumes. There is going to be a lot of risk in our life. And adapt. How do you adapt to risk? How do you set your mind, say, I can take a chance. I can try to be part of a change in a positive direction. And people, gather information and try to integrate it into their lives, whether they're tourists or whether they're working in the service industry. At every sector of our economy, there's a chance for people to kind of participate in mitigating the cataclysmic social, economic, and climate impacts that are going to be just thrust at us. And It's going to be heartbreaking to people who don't move, who don't change. It's going to be heartbreaking.
And especially those who sit behind computer screens and don't get out in the real world. And they're afraid if I do a service job, I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get a disease and whatever else. Or if I step up, I might fall or something. Or if I go on a bike, it's like I'm going to fall, hit on my head. Or, you know, you did some things too, like, you know, your parachute malfunctioned. And of course you had, you know, a couple of, men point guns at your head, not just the FBI smuggling, and also a fire in the tallest hotel in the world. What do you do? And we'll talk more about that with Bud Abbott and Appetite for Risk. But first, you listen to the Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Link and professional website without breaking your budget. Sonic Web Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. It's 1-800-303-3960 or email to support at sonicwebstudios.com. Mention Mike Wagner's Show, get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give an official shout out to our official sponsor, the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you love Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those who love be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson Zia has garnered great reviews. In Evil Oven and George by Howard celebrities, including Joanna Cassidy, Forge Riley, and Minims. So grab your copy today for Girls Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com or 40 podcast platforms. Heard in 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, Apple. Subscribe to us on BitChute, Rumble, YouTube. Follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Threads, and more. And take us with you on any mobile device. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, and hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out the Mike Wagner Show podcast. And speaking of gifts, you can also check out Amazon.com/MiaMolsonZia for great books like Missing, Once and Wrinkles, and T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MiaMolsonZia. And support the Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and themikewagnershow.com. We're here with author, journeyman, with a career in the amazing Bud Abbott here on the Mike Wagner Show. Talked about transformation and, of course, the book Appetite for Risk. And you know, why don't you take a risk on not just showing the book? I mean, just show it up. It's like, you know, what harm does that really do? It's like you take appetite for risk and everything. So, you know, why not, tell them more about the book? And, I mean, boy, a lot of things. Parachute malfunction and, of course, smuggling. And you had not just one, but two guns pointing at your head. And you also were in the fire in the tallest hotel in the world.
You know, I was in Dubai, and they advertised it, the tallest hotel in the world. And I'm traveling. I go, hey, why not stop at the tallest hotel in the world? What can go wrong? And I played golf in the morning at the Dubai Yacht Club, you know, and it was hot. And suddenly, I'm back in the hotel, and I'm just trying to cool off. And here comes this pounding on the door, bam, 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 bam. And I'm thinking there's a party, the Russians, or a wedding party, or something, you know. and here I go to the door, and here's this a security guy with a vest and another hotel employee going, "You've got to run downstairs right now, sir. The hotel is on fire." Let me tell you, when you hear those kind of words, it really lights a fire under you. You know,
I bet.
Put on my clothes and got my passport and went down to the hall, and it's dark. There's no light. There's nothing but smoke in this hallway. They gave me a washcloth and a small bottle of water, said, "You got to run down the stairs." I go, how do you do run? You're kidding me. And well, at 48th floor, I'm going down, and about five floors, my legs are just screaming. Oh, and people come rushing by me in different languages, and people's, you know, just screaming. It's just chaos. And his smoke and coughing. And finally, out of the mist, here comes a man signaling with his hand, you know, come this way, you know. And we got down to the 12th floor. And there was a kind of a causeway to another construction elevator, and I got out, and you know, and I was angry. As if there's spirits running around who are going like, "Oh, bud, you need another experience," you know.
Oh my.
And they're like, "Well, maybe I don't. Maybe I don't want to have that kind of experience anymore." Got out and breathing hard and grateful once again, very, very grateful. And as it turned out, I was right across the street from they put us in another hotel, and it was right across the street from a major mosque who started the chanting, the morning prayer. And I'm going like, I am so grateful. I am so grateful that I survived that and had that experience. I'm so grateful of every experience that has unfolded me in my life, including this with you, Mike. I'm extremely grateful that you would take what I have to say and put it on your program. Thank you so much. And
thank you as well, too. And of course, you know, this came to mind. So it's like, you know, what scares you the most? Being a fire in the hotel world in Dubai, or having two guns, you know, pointing at your head and saying, "Good morning, come with us." But I guess what's worse, like, pick your poison.
Well, no, you know, quite honestly, what the DNA in me, pretty much, I don't recognize fear the way other people do. There's these DNA alleles, the mitochondria, and the DNA alleles in your chromosomes. And the setup in mine, as far as I can tell, is that I don't have a lot of those look at the fear. I just look at the fun, or just react in the moment. Somebody with a gun at my head, he says, does something. Well, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm swimming downstream, wherever that is, you know, wherever the easiest route out of those problems are. In the case of the FBI most wanted guy in Hawaii, I had followed him into his house. He had stiffed me and he owed me some money. I didn't know he was FBI wanted. I just know he was a guy who owed me a little money for a car wreck, and I promised I wouldn't call the police. And he stiffed me, and so I walked into his house, and he's having some dinner with his wife, but he's not inviting me. I'm sitting on this couch, you know, and drinking wine. Finally, he comes over and he's sitting right next to me. His knees are just about touching mine.
Oh,
and he says to his wife, he says, "Doreen, bring me my knife." And she brings out this great big Bowie knife, you know, and he's got it, and he brings it out, and he brings it out, you know, fast, you know, and he goes from hand to hand, like, you know, the West Side Story. And I go, "That's a good knife. That is a terrific." I used to have a knife like that. I went hunting and I had to butcher a deer. There's the serrated edge on the top for bone cutter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good knife. And he says, "Doreen, bring me my gun."
Oh.
She brings out this long barrel black 45 Magnum pistol. And she takes the knife and she hands him the gun. Well, it's a revolver. And I'm going like this in my head. I go, "This is probably not good."
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid. I'm just going like, "This is maybe a cautionary situation." He flips open the cylinder and he spins the cylinder. I can see there's no bullets in the cylinder. Yeah, so my level of tension kind of drops down a little bit. And then he brings the gun up and he just points it right at my forehead. Just an inch from my forehead. And what did I do? I go, "That is a really good gun."
Everybody take notes on this one in case anything happens.
Anything could happen. But I said, "That's a really good gun." And I turned my eyes away from him. I looked out the side window and I said, "If the police were coming after you, you could hold them off. That was with a gun like that. You can do some real damage."
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Doreen, bring me my hat." This is true. This is an absolute gospel truth. "Doreen, bring me my hat." At this point, I go like, "What?" This is the time, you know, that one of those James Bond movies and the guy with the hat, you know, cuts off people's heads, you know, when he throws it. I go like, "What? What?" And she brings out this top hat.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts it on his head, and we leave the house as friends. Got in my Jeep that he had wrecked, you know, and I got repaired. He's waving his hat in the air like we're old buddies going out drinking on the town.
Oh, my.
And that's going like from my thought, I'm going to have my brains blown out, to I got a new drinking buddy all in 5 minutes, you know. And it's because I didn't confront him. I didn't show fear, and I didn't show anger. I just acknowledged him. You got a good gun. You got a good knife. I acknowledged that he had power. Mm. And by that, I got myself out of a real deep caca.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And of course, you were talking about James Bond as well, too. Of course, you know, the what I think we talked, you know, before we went on the air, one of the influencers died from a parachute malfunction. But you yourself survived a parachute malfunction. You know, tell us about that. And how'd you get out of that one?
Well, I had to think hard, but writing that, I was sweating, my hands would lock up. It took me weeks to just relive that. And what I came, you know, as a kid, and you know, we were always in San Diego, La Jolla, we were cliff diving. And I joined gymnastics in high school. And so we're always flipping the rings and whatever, you know, I was in motion. There was a time in my youth when my brother and I, we went use the yacht club's ski jump, and we got boat and motor, and well, we fell down. We didn't know you had to be straight up. You couldn't be leaning into it when you hit the ramp. So I had a lot. There was a bar. I went into gymnastics, got a high bar at home, and the bar broke, and I threw it while I was in midair to get it so it didn't land on me. And so I had been surfing, which is controlled falling. I had been falling and adapting to circumstances while I'm falling a lot throughout my youth. So that when I'm 19 years old and skydiving and I have a malfunction, I just, oh, well, here's what I have to do. I don't sit, no time to go, oh God, this is really bad. I'm gonna die. You know, no time for that. Just go like, you gotta solve this problem right now. And some of that came from my dad. There was a bad, kind of a messy accident. His arm is caught under the wheel of a house trailer.
Oh wow!
And this is on a road, the cars going by, and my dad says to my mom, says, you need to get the jack out of the back of the car and put it under this spring over here. So she goes, gets the jack, and he's giving her instructions. She jacks it up, pulls his arm out from under the wheel, you know, like, never a swear word, never an emotional outburst, no screaming or anything. And I learned that from my parents. When there's a tough thing, you just solve the problem. You know, getting really emotional in a difficult situation usually does not help out. It may help if, you know, scream, you rape, you know, maybe you better scream as loud as you can. But the way I was brought up, that problems happen. You get a problem, solve it. I that's the nurture part of my story, why I survived, the nurturing part. Very, very unique parenting.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, the fact that we're in a safe culture as well. You got to do things to be safe, and you got to take this to be safe and everything else. But, you know, many times it's like, you know, safety isn't always the answer.
Yeah. Wear a bicycle helmet by all means. you put strap yourself in with a safety belt when you're driving, and do reasonable prudent things, but don't obsess your whole life into a protective dome of impermeable to anything. You know, interact with the world. It's fun. The people are interesting. Get out there, meet people, you know, read books, travel a lot. I worked in 12 different countries for Asian Development Bank, World Bank, USAID, those kind of organizations. And every country I went to, I practiced a little bit of the language, never got very good at any of them. But, you know, I could speak a little Chinese, a little Burmese, a little Arabic. and learn the language and learn a little bit about the religion, learn about what the spiritual journey of the people of that area is all about. And those kind of things then allowed me to interact with people, not being afraid of people. Yeah, there's con artists out there. There's violent people. Learn to read people, but you learn to read people by being interacting. And a few times you go like, I shouldn't have hung around with that type. You know, you learn.
Live and learn. Exactly.
Yeah. So a lot of things have happened to me because I enjoy travel. I really, you know, this year, you know, retreats in Baja California and Costa Rica and travel. And last year it was Botswana, South Africa. The wonderful walking safaris. You know, you can sit in a bus all day, or on our safaris, Biologists Without Borders. Give Sue Orloff a big hand there for her program, bringing money to, you know, the wardens. Give them boots, give them nightlights so they can find the poachers. Little donation for trailside cameras and things like that. But walking safaris, you really, my God, Botswana is fantastic. And the wildlife there and the experience of walking through it like our ancient ancestors did. You go like, yeah, that's I'm walking, you know, some of my ancient ancestors walked through this area, and you find pieces of rock. And then the guide says, this was probably used by these ancient people. See how it's been shaped? It's probably cutting the skin so they could eat the animal they just killed. Sue Orloff and her Biologists Without Borders program is first class. I really endorse it.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you traveled throughout the country in New Year's as well. What was the most interesting country that you ever been in?
Well, I really like Costa Rica. Been, you know, lots of wildlife. People are fantastic. They don't have an army. They everybody who wants to work and does something can get a job and get ahead. You know, your taxi driver says, "Well, I got one son as a CPA and one as a doctor. My daughter's HR for a big company." You know, everybody can get ahead in Costa Rica, and you know the environment is one of those blue zones, you know, where people live a long time. Hmm. And from the volcanoes, really interesting geology. There are, you know, geological hotspot, you know, volcanoes all over the place. Really, really, really interesting stuff. And the water, you know, along the Pacific coast, it's, you know, you just walk into it, you don't even register whether it's warm or cold. It's just perfect water. I like Playa Hermosa because of the waves. Little gentle waves set a rhythmic clock for you. They break, and they just, and pretty soon you're just in that very peaceful zone of that small sound in the background of your life against the howler monkeys. And it's, I'd say, you know, I've been to 11 countries in Africa. I don't need to go back to Africa anymore. You know, a lot of diseases, a lot of risk, a lot of.
Yeah. Well, too much risk to try to overcome too. So.
Yeah, and, you know, at this point, yeah, I'd like to go some other places, you know. My travel, I was recently invited to join a group going to Angola, which would have really been interesting, but I just have other priorities this year. You know, writing a book, you kind of have to go on a kind of book sales campaign, meet people and one thing another, and when you're out in a remote area like Africa, nobody's buying your book.
Right. Yeah. And of course, you know, where they're going to read, where can they buy, and, you know, everything else, especially in third world countries. And of course, you know, among your travels, what's the one country that you have not visited that you would like to visit or love to visit?
Boy, New Zealand. I'd really like to go to New Zealand, go walk around some of those areas, mountains. When I have dental work, in my imagination, I go to a little beach on the North Island where the waves are rolling in, very gentle, a little white sandy beach, you know, the dentist can do whatever they want to me. I don't even need the Novocaine or anything. It's just like I get in a trance state to just zing into New Zealand. So I got to go find that beach that's in my imagination sometime.
Really? They have a dentist in New Zealand that can do all that without all the costs? I thought dentists in Mexico can do it for cheap. I'll have to make an appointment to go to New Zealand just get my dental work done. I think you came up with a great idea.
Well, actually, in Costa Rica this time, I did have my crowns put on. I had they wanted almost $12,000 to put the crowns on my teeth here in the States. And Costa Rica, they do it for a bit over $3,000, all four of them.
Not bad. $3,000, not bad.
12 versus 3, you know, I can do that math, you know. So,
exactly. Do the math. And we know people that got their crowns done, wisdom tooth pull. That is like, you know, it's like, you know, $1,000 or less in Mexico. So,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's reasons for our problems in the medical field here in the United States that are, some of them are just not obvious to me exactly why it should be, you know, four times as expensive here as other places, but I haven't studied it. It's kind of like, it's one of those messy things. And when I think of immigrating sometimes, I go like, well, maybe there's a lot of problems here in the United States I will never understand, but will affect me as I age. And maybe I should plan for a less expensive treatment regimes that are, and the dentist I went to there in Costa Rica, every single bit of equipment they had was better than the equipment for my own personal dentist. I was so impressed how they were using new technology. It was open, like you could see all the machines and the people working on the machines. And very impressive, very, very impressive. They've got their act together there.
I think I have to keep that in mind next time when I break an arm or if I need surgery or anything like that. I'll have to book the trip to Costa Rica and you're going to come with me. So is that a risk right there?
All right, Mike. Yeah, we'll have fun. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. And of course, you know, what else do we need to know about the book Appetite for Risk? You talk about taking a risk, changing minds and everything else. And what else can people get from Appetite for Risk besides having that appetite for risk?
Well, part of the subtitle is, you know, what it is you know, who has it. And there are people like myself. I'm not an evil Knievel, you know, motorcycle jumper or anything like that, but people who think of fun instead of danger and risk. You know, mm-hmm. if somebody else did it, I could probably do that. That'd be fun, you know. And there is I think some of that's DNA. The people, there are certain people who are very cautious, and it's beyond explanation other than that's how they were born. Mm-hmm. And there's people who are on the other side, you know, the little more adventurous side. And so to recognize that about yourself, that is one of the things that know thyself. The most important work you can ever do is to work on yourself. Gurdjieff and so many spiritual leaders all say, you think about yourself and think about death. Learn about who you are and what your capabilities are. And that's one of the things I'm doing with one of my retreats. You do binaural beat. Headphones, different frequencies going each ear, quickly get down to the state of mind where you are just ready to fall asleep, but you can catch it. And in that state of mind, you're beyond what your ego is, and you can do astral travel and see through other people's eyes and a whole bunch of things that are called psychic phenomena. But Patanjali, the Yoga Sutras, talks about these are the things that happen if you just do a lot of meditation. I do a lot of meditation. I get very deep and I try to stay awake and see the phantasma that blows through your mind and where I can consciously direct it to go places and do things. It's a strange phenomenon. I can't do it all the time, but I've had enough of those experiences and psychic healing experiences that I go like, There's things beyond what we know with our very limited sensory apparatus, our hearing, our sight. There's lots of sounds. We don't hear them. There's vibrations in the air. There's lots of colors. We just don't see. Lots of smells we cannot detect. There's so much more going on. And our sensory apparatus and the limitations that our defined ego kind of limit us in our ability to actually experience more of what the universe is offering. And some of the meditation practices I teach help people who are interested in that get really deep and have some of those kinds of experiences.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about with the thing about fear and everything like that. Is that considered a hereditary in the DNA, genetic, or is that a thing that can be learned?
My opinion, and I've tried to do a little more research on this and actually get my chromosomes read, and it's difficult to kind of delve down in that. I'm looking at my ancestry of immigrants who've been crossing the United States since the 1600s. They had to be adventurous people. You know, they went from Maine to the Ohio Valley to, you know, across the continent back and forth. The family stories about encounters with Native Americans and with the lotus and the disease wiping out whole families, members who were in the Civil War, that I come from a line of people who were immigrant adventures, but 16-year-old great-grandfather joined the cavalry and crossed the United States, 16 years old. And I come from people who have a lot of that. And I look at my brother and my sister, pretty adventurous lives of their own. And so I'm pretty sure a lot of that is genetic. The survival part is because how we were brought up. My mother and fathers grew up on farms. They saw the Great Depression and the Okies, the people who came from the Dust Bowl, this great suffering, and how people had to adapt. And they learned of real suffering and how to help other people and how to take care of themselves. And they passed that on to myself and my brothers and sisters. And so nurturing allowed us to survive. I think that's, luck. Maybe there are a group of angels running around. Alive. Oh, God, here he goes again. I don't know. You know, it's kind of like, my guess is there's a lot of factors.
Mm-hmm. And certainly did as well, too. And in the meantime, where can we find your book, Appetite for Risk and More?
Appetite for Risk and Transformation are both on Amazon Books. I encourage you to go buy a copy and read it and try to figure out whether you have an appetite for risk and how you would survive. How would you survive in those same type of situations that I got out by the skin of my teeth?
Mm-hmm. And make sure you take a risk of buying a book. We're here with Bud Abbott of Appetite for Risk and Transformation here on the Mike Wagner Show. Just a few more things. What else can you expect me in 2023 and beyond, Bud?
Let's see. The remainder of 23 is I'm planning to go to Hawaii. Several of the stories are based in Hawaii. I wanted to kind of get my book into that market. I'm going to have to meet people, shake hands, and talk story a little bit. Planning for a retreat, 2-week retreat in Costa Rica in November. And that's pretty much going to all my focus, trying to do that. I'm meeting with some scientists about climate change and storm frequency impact on the Mendocino coast of California, where there are some structures along the coast that will be impacted by sea level rise and by increased storm intensity over the next decade. And so how does the Mendocino County and Waterworks plan for that the sea level rise and storm impacts on the infrastructure? it'll be an interesting project. I do a bit of expert witness for different attorneys, different high profile cases where they need a marine biologist, and I serve that way. And doing this one sea level rise project will be pretty interesting. I've got a good team. We can really, I think we can be of good service and get people to think ahead using the latest models. The models are changing all the time. So we want to bring to their attention the data that's being used in the algorithms for the models. It'll be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And certainly did as well, too. And who do you consider biggest influence in your career?
Excuse me?
Who do you consider biggest influence in your career?
I have to give credit to my mom. She liked to go fishing. I was a charter boat skipper for a while. She would come out to Hawaii, get on the boat, you know, catch a big tuna, sit on it, you know, that conquered the tuna, you know.
Plenty of tuna fish for a while.
She was a character, you know. She's a good businesswoman, a practicing nurse, good health care. She, God bless her, you know, we'd get cut up as kids, whatever. She'd patch us up, no emotion or anything. She may have been biting her tongue, but you know, go back out and play, you know.
That's right. I think we need to do that. That's part of the risk as well. And I got to go back and play myself. And what's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point?
Well, yes, it's terrific talking to you, Mike. Again, I'll stay in touch. We can talk more in the future.
Sounds good. We'll do that. We're here with Bud Abbott of Appetite for Risk and Transformation here on the Mike Wagner Show. Bud, a very big thank you for your time. Again, looking forward to having you in soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Again, love having you back. And once again, what's your website? How do people contact you? Where can people purchase or check out your books?
My website is very simple, budabbott.com. budabbott.com. That's my website, and it reflects the different parts of my career as a musician, as an author, as a marine biologist, and a teacher. And that the links there to my email, budabbott777@icloud.com. Love to hear from people who would like to talk more, and I enjoy meeting people and talking and listening, mostly listening, and Mike, I want to thank you very much. You run a good organization, good show, and I really encourage your career success.
And you too as well, Bud. Looking forward to having you again. Again, make sure you keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Love to have you back. Wish all best. And Bud, you definitely have a great future ahead of you. It's great to hear from you.
Thank you very much.
The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios. If you're looking to start or upgrade your online presence, visit www.sonicwebstudios.com for all of your online needs. Call 1-800-303-3960 or visit us online at www.sonicwebstudios.com to get started today. Mention the Mike Wagner Show and get 20% off your project. Sonic Web Studios. Take your image to the next level.
Hey everybody, my name is Forbes Riley, and I'm an American actress and a TV host, and I was delighted when I got my copy of Missing, which is Extraordinary Relation of Ordinary People Based on a Real Life Relationship. It's well written. It's amazing. You know, it talks about a man who has lost his wife and his daughter, and it's very well done. I'm going to highly recommend that you go get your copy of Missing. It is a powerful, exciting read. Mr. Mian Moshe Zia. He is the author of Missing. And I want to give a big shout out and a kiss all the way halfway around the world to my dear friend. Check him out at Mia's website. It's called www.miamoshenzea.com. Missing. Available on Amazon. Again, I'm Forbes Riley, and I will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Mike Wagner Show. Brought to you by international award-winning author Mia Mosenzia of Missing and powered by Sonic Web Studios. Be sure to join us again on over 40 podcast platforms. And of course, on the MikeWagnerShow.com, HamiltonRadio.net, and Diamonds FM. Don't forget to support our program with a generous donation at the MikeWagnerShow.com. Thanks for listening.